Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Hello there, and welcome to Ever Beyond. We're now running on a new operating system on the broadcast computer, thanks very much to the Ubuntu team. Ubuntu is a word, a South African word, which means goodwill, and this certainly is very good. totally recommend it. Tonight, our theme tune is a little on the dark side. We are speaking with a very light person, Katie Galanti, who, as well as myself, have been interested in the pushing of satanic ritual into everyday life and everyday beingness. And we'll talk about this. You'll understand more about what we're talking about as we go along, as we describe these things. You will have seen them, you will have experienced them, and you have maybe felt very uncomfortable about them. So, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Katie Galanti. Good evening, Katie. How are you? How's the weather over there? You have an English accent, but you are currently living in the States, are you?
I am, and I am in very not sunny California. it's supposed to be sunny, but it's never sunny where I live at the moment. We have a lot of marine fog that comes in, right? So we've had fog for about 3 days now.
Right, hang on. let me just try that now. Oh yeah, that's a lot better. Yes. Mad Hatter in the chat room says, I was just listening about satanic rituals and became a werewolf. Now, let's see. So, Katie, over in the States there, you've had a little interest. So do you want to talk us through some of the things that you've been interested in over the years and what you'd like to talk about tonight?
People, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a healer, writer, and I suppose researcher in the esoteric field. And what we're going to be talking about tonight has more to do with the research aspect of what I do, right? I've been a healer for about 12 years. I have a background in psychology and in physics. I have degrees in both. And I've had a lot of experiences in my life that have brought me both very light experiences, in which I've had really strong metaphysical, mystical experiences and multidimensional ones. But I've also had a lot of experiences with the dark side of the force in terms of having had exposure to it in my childhood. I was, I think, naturally clairvoyant towards the astral plane. And so I started seeing things when I was a child. And then as an adult, I had that kind of went away after a while. But then as an adult, when I was 27, I went through my own awakening about 15, 17 years ago. And as part of that, I also was under a lot of psychic attack. The psychic attack kind of made me learn about the dark side, because if you're being psychic attacked, you need to understand what's going on.
I bet.
And so the psychic attack that I was under was pretty extreme. It was not just a little bump in the night. It was literally a full-on, full-frontal psychic attack that went on for about 45 days non-stop.
Wow.
So I had to... It was, like, ongoing 24/7 for like, a month and a half. So it literally was as if I had been plunged into the deep end and being suddenly having to learn how to swim kind of thing and to get myself out of this. Over the years, I then had other experiences and encounters with the so-called dark energies, and some of which were kind of unusual. Like, for example, I ended up in Belgium in a castle in which there had been some strange dark rituals and SS kind of connections. I was on holiday. I was not planning on going into a nest of darkness, but that's what happened. And then another time, a couple of years later, I ended up at a reunion that was supposed to be a light meditation, and instead we ended up doing a ritual to counteract a dark ritual that was going on in some paedophilia circle. So it's like, I don't always feel... It's not something that I went looking for, but it seems that it's something that came looking for me. And I believe that is because it is part of my mission to... First of all, it was part of my mission as a soul to remember about certain things, because I've had various incarnations in which I've already encountered all of these forces. So the first part of my awakening was about remembering all of this and all of the tools for dealing with the dark side. And then the latter part, the past 10 years or so, has been about researching about various aspects of the dark functionings, and then also talking about it and teaching other people about what I know, right?
Right.
So that is kind of me in a nutshell. And so getting to the topic of today, I mean, this topic came up in the last radio show that we did with Dave, right? And you were there with me.
And Tracy, and, yeah.
Yes, that's right. And we were talking about... you asked me a question about the music industry because we were talking about dark energy, and you said, is it true that there's all of these embedded messages in music and so on? And I told you that it is. And I told you that, in fact, not only that is going on, but we are moving towards a new phase of the relationship between the dark energy and the music industry. And I'm going to put Hollywood in there as well. I don't think it's just the music industry. I think it's the entertainment industry. It goes under the whole one umbrella.
And that includes video games as well, but we'll focus on what you know and what we've heard about.
Yes, I'm a girl, so I don't do video games quite as much as the guys. So I don't know as much about those, but I believe that you're absolutely right that the video games also have that. And I think that we may want to start from the purpose of the, like, to just blow the lid on the whole music industry, entertainment industry, video games, etc. They are ultimately all of these things that, especially the commercial versions of, that come out of the big labels and the big movie companies, big corporate kind of structure of the entertainment thing. That basically, we could put Disney in there as well, that basically all of these are mass mind control instruments, tools for mass mind control. And they are actually designed to be that way. So the movies are doing it, the video games are doing it, the music are doing it. If we are to focus just on the music, there's a couple of pieces of almost like esoteric information that I think will be useful for people that haven't thought about this before. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that have already read about all these things, but if you haven't, and this is a new topic,
Let's go for the noobs. and cater for the people that are, you know, of going, what, when you're talking. So let's start there in the realms of credibility. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Well, we need to understand that music is a frequency instrument, right? So when you listen to music, you are enjoying it and going, oh, tra-la-la, and listening into it, and it's kind of pleasant or unpleasant, depending on what your taste is. But ultimately, what music is, energetically, it's a frequency broadcast.
Yes.
So you're being, you are receiving a transmission of frequency. Now, this can be a good thing and this can be a bad thing. It depends on who's doing the transmitting and what they're transmitting.
Exactly.
We, as human beings, we are energy beings. And we are energy beings to a degree that our energy makeup supersedes our physical makeup by far. We can even debate that there's no such thing as a physical makeup, because even the physicality of our being to some degree is just energy in a condensed form, or we can say that it's just energy that we perceive within the instrumentation of the body that we incarnated in. So we perceive it as physical because we inhabit it, right? But ultimately, we are energy, and we vibrate. You know, we have our own frequency at which we vibrate. And when there's frequency transmissions that come towards us, they can trigger us, and we can go into resonance with it. If you're a sound person, you will understand, I'm sure, what this means. But we go into resonance with that frequency. So there is the music is a very good way for, let's call it the dark magician behind the curtain, to play with our energy and influence us with energy. So there's just from that point of view, we can see how music can be used as a tool and why there would be so much money that is put into using music as a tool. Now, that is one version. And then we have the visual hypnotic version, that is what comes to us through the television, YouTube, music videos, and cinema, etc. And basically, that is, I think it has been proven that when we are watching things on the TV, we go into a hypnotic state, like the brain waves go into the same kind of state that we are in when we are in hypnosis. So that also makes us very susceptible to having images, ideas, symbols sent into our being through some kind of subconscious programming.
Yes.
So that is why these tools are being used. Now, then we need to put it into the context of what is going on the planet Earth at the moment energetically. We are moving towards a shift point, and the light wants us to shift towards the light, and the dark wants us to shift towards the dark. The outcome of this shift point is not predetermined. It is almost like a graduation point, and depending on where the collective consciousness is pointed, we can go one direction or another.
Right. Now, let me just chip in here.
Yes.
We have, it's been really interesting because the same subjects, we've had three or four guests over the last few nights. We had on Dave's show on Wolf Spirit Radio, Project Information Generation.
Yes.
You appeared the other night and we started this conversation, and then on Friday night we had Tracy, who was sitting in the chat room on Wednesday. She came up with this she's been coming up with a very interesting stuff. She's going to have a show of her own called Trace Elements. I think it's going to be on Friday nights on Wolf Spirit Radio as well. So there's going to be a large amount of release of information on this particular subject. Now, she was a daughter of a musician, and he used to work with Holland and Dozier in Motown in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that there was a locked room at the basement of this record company, and nobody but the owners of the record company could go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently this is where the ritual went on that put the demons into the music. Okay,
yes.
So that was Friday, and then last night we had Duncan O'Finian and his partner Miranda. And I don't know if you met them on Awake and Aware?
I met Duncan.
Yes.
Yes.
And she was saying, she was talking along the same lines about the Disney programming, for instance,
mm-hmm,
and the subliminal
yes.
programming. So we're talking about the subliminals last night. So it's all, it's Satanic Ritual Week on Wall Spirit Radio.
Well, but it's important.
Yes.
It is important because, and if you remember, even on the Wednesday show, I mentioned about the demon inserts.
yes, I'd like you to expand on that.
Well, it's not my personal experience, so it's I'm just repeating what I've read.
Yeah.
Okay. But I've read a lot of stuff, and I have my own intuition as to what is true and what is not true, and usually I am fairly accurate with that gut feeling.
Mm.
Okay. Like I've had lots of instances in which I feel that something is right and people say no, that's not right, and then a year later it comes out that it's true, right?
Yeah.
So I trust my gut quite a bit on certain things, and one of the I listened to this guy that we have decided was John Todd, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you remember the name?
Yes. Yes.
And he was somebody that was in the music industry and then came out and, walked away from it. And I think he turned towards Christianity, like a lot of people do, actually, when they walk away from the music industry.
Yeah.
There's quite a few artists that do that I think is kind of interesting.
Mm.
And it's almost like they need to balance it with something equally structured on the other side. Right?
Yes, it's an authority thing. But anyway,
it is, yeah. And also because I think it's also because the Christians, one may go along with the Christian religion or not, but the Christians have the whole exorcism down better than the New Age people, let's say.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a good place to find refuge when you're trying to counteract dark side. At least they acknowledge that there is a dark side, and they know how to deal with it, and they have some technology that they used for dealing with it. And in fact, I would say that there's a guy that is doing great work in the whole exorcism field that is called Russ Dizdar. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
How do you spell his last name?
Dizdar, I think it's Dizdar. I'll check it for you.
Okay,
right?
Thank you.
And this guy, he has written a book that is called The Black Awakening. And basically he has a hit squad that goes out and deals specifically with the removal of dark energies from ex-cult members. And when I say cult, I mean the kind of cult that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Not general cults, exactly what we're talking about right now.
We're all aware of who they are. I mean, they go under various
exactly.
names, and Illuminati is the most famous name of them, but there's many other groups that
yes.
have that same name or that same body.
Yeah,
go on.
Yes, and so where was I going with that? I've lost my train of thought. Can you steer me back? If you remember what I was, where I was going
about Dizdar.
Okay, Russ Dizdar. Yes, and so okay, and I was talking about that because of John Todd.
That's right.
And he, when he came out, and in fact, you can go on YouTube and find that there's quite a bit of stuff that is on YouTube of old recordings of lectures that he has given. And in one of these lectures, he says exactly the same thing, that there were rituals that are carried out in which they insert certain energies within the records themselves before they send them out. I think he was talking in the early 80s, so he was literally talking about records like LPs.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same thing with MP3s or CDs or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically embedding certain kinds of energies into certain kinds of music. As far as I understand, all of this messing around with music has actually been going on for quite some time. We think it's a recent thing, but I think it's been going on for quite some time. It's, at the very least, it has been going on since the 60s.
At the very least.
At the very least. And in the 60s, this was kind of upsetting to me because I really liked the 60s. I really liked the 60s yes. music. And at a certain point, I had to just surrender to the fact that a lot of the music that I really liked was actually polluted. And the music is still pleasant and nice to listen to, but it gives you a different idea of actually maybe what was going on in the 60s. I think that they started doing this quite intensely at the time because there was the beginning of an awakening, and a lot of this awakening had to do with the civil rights and anti-war movement. And they introduced all of how they steered that. You know, they kind of created the hippie and flower power movement as a distraction from yeah. from the more grounded civil liberties and anti-war movement. And so we have at that time there was a large influx of LSD and you know, various other distractions into universities. You know, it was given away free at concerts. That was less of a spontaneous event than people may imagine. It was actually driven that way. And I haven't done enough research on Timothy Leary to claim anything, but I am highly suspicious about him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, basically, the MK boys were playing with their toys and seeing what happens on a mass scale.
That's right. And they did a fairly good job. They did actually manage to corrupt at least some of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you also, I don't know if you've done any research on even the birth of some of the musical icons of the 60s came out of Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, Inside Laurel Canyon, is that the name
yeah,
of the thing?
A or yeah. His name is Dave McGowan. I mm-hmm. actually wrote it down because I always forget names.
well
now
done.
I can't even find the piece of paper.
I can hear you scrambling around pieces of paper.
That's right. So Dave McGowan, Laurel Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and plug him in, he wrote a fairly long, very well researched book online, in which he basically traces back pretty much every single person that went through that whole Laurel Canyon hub as a child of the military. They all had a military background.
That's right.
And all of a sudden they all gravitated towards this place, but every single one had parents that were in the military and had been raised in the military. So that again is a fairly suspicious hub of music. So going back to the whole music industry thing in general,
mm-hmm.
it just is something that, you know, if you do the research, you will see that it is a tool that has been used to influence mass consciousness. But also, at the moment, it's going a step further than that. It's not just influencing mass consciousness and mass ideas, but it's literally, if you look at the latest generation of artists, they have stepped into doing ritual in public.
Yeah.
And this is what I call the externalization of ritual, because those are the kind of rituals that used to go on behind closed doors, and nobody had any clue about them. And now they're being repackaged and presented to us as
entertainment.
You know, entertainment, art, eccentricity, you know, shocking, shock and awe, do you know what I mean? And
yes.
all of that. Well, instead, so if you go, I mean, prime example of this is Lady Gaga. She seems to be the queen of ritual on stage. Mm. You know, when she walks around with meat, a dress made of meat, that is a ritualistic thing to do, to be dressed in flesh in that way. And if you, I don't know if you remember that there was a Beatles cover in which they did the same.
Yes.
And there was a record that came out in which the Beatles were covered with, they were dressed in butcher's clothes and they were covered with meat and mutilated dolls. And they said it was kind of a joke and they put out this limited edition cover and then they covered it up with something else. So that cover didn't last for very long, but it was there. And Lady Gaga is doing very much the same thing, but in on a grand scale. And almost every single one of her performances, especially the live performances that happen at things that, such as these award ceremonies, that you know, a couple of times a year, that these big awards ceremonies, and almost every single time, her performances are actually quite an elaborate ritual. And also her MTV type videos, do you know what I mean? Like videos that go with her music, they also have those kinds of themes in it. Now, to go through every single one of those and point out everything that is ritualistic about it, I mean, that is a serious job. We're not going to be able to do it today in 1 hour, but people can go to get some foundation in this. People can go to vigilantcitizen.com.
Vigilantcitizen.com. I'll put that in the chat room here.
Vigilant Citizen is somebody that has done a lot of work on analyzing videos, and he has at least 4 of Lady Gaga's videos on there that he analyzes. There's also another one. I'm going to give you various links because I think people need to just do their own research. I think that's the best way for people to understand things.
Yes, right? But what I'd also like to do, Katie, is to maybe isolate a few very major elements that, like the skeletal structure, that then people can dress for themselves. So outline how you would look at a Lady Gaga performance, for instance, and see what it is that in behind the glamour, behind all the, you know, glittery dresses and sparkly lights and everything, what they're actually up to.
Okay, well, it's not as straightforward because every one is slightly different, but I'm just thinking about one in particular in which there was this huge angel at the back, but it was like a black angel, and it had the wings of the angel were burning on fire, right? And underneath that, there's Lady Gaga that is singing and then getting into this whole orgy thing with about 5 androgynous men. Right. Like they looked, but they're dressed like Nazi youth, and they're swirling around together in this fake orgy, and then they cut her wrist, and there's all of this blood going down her, and she's right underneath the burning. When that happens, she's right underneath the burning black angel with the fire wings.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. So that is one instance. Then there's another instance in which, and also if you start to look at these videos, then you can see that in every single one there are symbols and if you know your symbols, you will see.
So there are people wearing, for instance, symbols and colors that are enacting out some kind of ritual drama.
That's right. And also, Lady Gaga does the all-seeing eye symbol all the time. The third eye triangle, you know, the pyramid triangle.
Yeah, you see Jay-Z do that thing as well with the triangle.
Jay-Z does that. Yeah. Rihanna does that.
And then you look at Aleister Crowley doing that, and you think,
That's right. Well,
so what does that mean? I mean, what is the energy that is being put out when you do that?
Well, really, truly, it's like a Hail Satan. That's the energy. It's a worship symbol. It's like they declaring an allegiance. They are talking, and this is the thing that where you know it becomes important because when you're looking at the ritual and you're also doing your own symbol. And you're also doing the triangle, because if you look at any of these concerts now, all of the kids and the people that are attending are also doing the triangle.
Yeah, everybody joins in. Yep.
Yes, and they're doing the horns, do you know what I mean, and all of that. That when people are joining in that way, they are participating in the ritual. Now, they may not understand exactly what it is that is going on, but they are participating. They are putting their energy into the mix by participating. So this is really where it's going right now, that they are using these... they are doing the ritual in public. They are using symbols of worship that are part of the ritual, and then they're making everybody that looks and that is attending also do that, so that they also participate in the ritual. And this is important if we understand what ritual really is about.
Yes.
Because ritual is not just it's an energy tool. I used to teach classes on manifesting, on how you create and how you manifest things into the world. And obviously with the light alignment, that is different. I mean, the tools are the same, it's just the way in which you use them is different. And one of the classes that I used to teach was manifesting through ritual. And manifesting through ritual is actually one of the most powerful ways of manifesting, because it's one of the ways that engages the subconscious mind most powerfully. Because when you're doing something out in the world, and say I'll give you an example. Say that you want to, you're asking for help with something, and a difficulty that you're having in your life. If you just say in your mind, "I ask for help," that has a certain energy. If you say, "I ask for help," and you write it on a piece of paper, that has more energy, because you're also engaging your body in writing. So it makes it concrete.
You're right.
We live on the physical plane, so if I write it, it makes it more concrete. Now, if on top of that, I put a rug out and I put candles on it, and I've spent 2 hours preparing this thing, and then I put my ritualistic piece of paper and I said, "I ask for help," you know, in alignment with the light, and then I put incense all over it and so on. 2 hours of my energy have gone into this process, and I have done things that my subconscious recognizes as powerful. And so it's not the ritual that is manifesting, but it is a way for really powerfully focusing intent, right? And so the more energy goes into a ritual, the more that intent becomes powered and charged up. So why do they want everybody to participate in the ritual? Is it just because they want everybody to be corrupted? Yes, to some degree. But the most important aspect is that they're using people's energy. They're siphoning people's energy and putting it towards an intent that they are holding and that they are tricking you to get behind. And so when you're watching certain rituals, you're powering up whatever it is that ritual is about. And they obviously know what it is about, and we don't. Now, the good news is that if you become conscious of the fact that this is going on, you can watch this stuff and disengage, and you're not going to be participating.
Yeah, but and it becomes fun, because you're then spotting.
Yeah, then you're analyzing and yes. So on, and then it becomes a game. But if you imagine that you're 17, and you're at a concert, and Keisha, that is one of the, you know who Keisha is, right? She's like a teen idol at the moment.
Is she?
And
oh, no, I don't know.
One of the things.
I'm in my 50s, you know.
Well, I keep track of this kind of stuff just because I'm interested.
Yeah, right? Of course.
And also, I used to be a school teacher, so I still care about kids for some reason.
Well, I have a 15-year-old son, and he's downstairs playing Call of Duty Black Ops. Actually, one of the very first ever Beyond shows last year, I was speaking with a gaming author, Brian Internosia. And So he was talking about the Illuminati influences in video games. So and what's actually, I just want to kind of lay something out here. It was about halfway into it, and it's been incredibly interesting so far, Katie. Really, really interesting. But I just want to add a few elements into the pot here. It's like I was saying, we've had these shows in the last few days, and everybody seems to be speaking about a particular theme, and then suddenly it hits me. We're coming up to Halloween. We're also coming up to a point where people are projecting a maximum amount of fear, which is the Mayan calendar, and it's just clicking that.
Yes.
Part of this whole, one of the reasons that we're here is we're here to raise awareness. And I think this is a point of awareness that perhaps not everybody's thought of. But let me just put it this way. What if this is a particularly powerful Halloween night where they could, rip open space and time, to bring all sorts of hell onto the planet? What if, because of our awareness, because of, I can share what I've just become aware of, okay? So what it is, the greatest point of fear is the end of the Mayan calendar. Everybody thinks, oh, God, there's going to be some big cataclysm. And there's a lot of concern, and everybody's talked about, Carl Kellerman's interpretation of the Mayan calendar, which ends up not very long away. It's the 28th of October, and today is the 23rd. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, yes, here we are. 23. So it's 5 days away from the end of the world. All right. So
yes, and I don't think we're going to see the end of the world.
No. And see, but the thing is, this is a big psyop. It's a dark arts, and so we are enlisting some new masters in Hogwarts here of defense against the dark arts.
Yes.
And that's why I believe we've kind of stumbled on it. But now we know what we're talking about. Maybe we can really get some heavy duty people in the next few days. Is to basically, it's not going to be the end of the world, but they're going to try and make it happen. And they're going to try and use our energy to make it happen in a different way. It's like, They use our it's to create a huge amount of shock at this time of year. Can you talk about that? Have you got any information about it? The whole Halloween thing?
For a start, Halloween is always an opening, right?
Yeah.
They use it always as an opening, and again, that is another ritual we participate in, right?
Yeah.
When we dress up in scary clothes and stuff.
Yeah. I personally don't let my kids do it.
Yeah, good. but again, it is this may be a time in which they are amping up their game, but they've been amping up their game for quite some time, right? At least in the past couple of years, it's almost been constant. And I think that this harnessing of the energy of fear. I mean, at the moment on the 28th, it's the end of the Mayan calendar. At a certain point, it was the swine flu. At another point, it was the oil spill. At another point, it was something else. It's almost as if at every one of these junctures, the collective gets stirred up into some kind of a frenzy. Everybody gets really scared.
Yes.
And all of those things are used towards the tipping point, but we have to understand what the tipping point is for them, and it is for us too. It's literally, we are coming up to what the raw material calls the time of the harvest. Time of the harvest being almost there's a point, recurring cyclical point in galactic universal time, And I know time doesn't exist on certain levels, but let's in the incarnational game.
We're in cycles.
That's right, and we operate in cycles and so on. And some cycles are small, and some cycles are very large. Now, within the very large cycles, it seems to me, from everything that I have read and experienced, that at least every 26,000 years, but sometimes there's some even bigger cycles than that, and I think that we're in an even bigger cycle than that, in which we have these shift points, and these shift points can go either way. What determines, and by shift point I mean we literally can transition from one dimensional reality to another dimensional reality. What determines the nature of the shift point is the collective consciousness that we inhabit at the time of the shift point. So everything is geared towards having a very negatively loaded shift point, because in a positive, if we have a positive shift, they no longer have rulership over that. And some people say that there's going to be more than one timeline, and that is possible too. But regardless, whatever timeline they're in, they're only going to be able to have people in their timeline if these people are vibrating at the same frequency that they're vibrating at, that is fifth dimensional dark. So everything that they're doing is geared towards amping up the dark energy on the planet so that they can harvest as many souls. Like if you look at the multiple timeline theory, if they can harvest as many souls as they can, and if you're looking at the just one shift point, they want the shift to go towards the dark. Either way, that's the game that they're playing. Now, so every single thing that they're putting forward at the moment, the rituals that they're trying to get people to participate in, the fake stories that they're putting out about tragedies that are going to happen, et cetera, every single one of those things is geared towards amplifying the dark energy, and it's geared towards putting people in a position where they're vibrating at the lowest possible frequencies that they can. And I went through this very briefly on Dave's show the other day, but basically they, to be able to have people go towards their tipping point, they need people to be out of the heart chakra, they need to be people to be out of their third eye to some degree, although you can have dark seers, and they need people to be out of their crown. So what they do is that they do everything that they possibly can to keep people into their base chakra, second chakra, and third chakra. And base chakra is fear. So that's the lowest chakra that one can be in, right? And by one can be in, I mean all of one's consciousness. Everybody has a base chakra, but you want it all linked up with all of the other chakras. What they do is that they put energies forward so that people are vibrating almost exclusively in the first, second, and third chakra. Base chakra is the first one. It's the one that has the lowest frequency. It's and the vibration of fear is absolutely linked with the base chakra. And so that is why they hammer people with fear, 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 fear. Even in Buddhism, they say that you cannot go into higher pursuits until you have taken care of food and shelter. Basically, if a person is scared of their survival, that's all they're thinking about. They can't think about anything else. They're not going to meditate about the beauty of life if they're there trying to survive and getting their children to survive and if they're hungry. So flooding people with fear is a very good way to make that happen. And by the way, the financial crisis is part of that too.
Yes.
They're not just trying to steal everybody's money, although they're doing a great
job. Which they are, but they're not just doing that. They do like a two-for-one, don't they?
Yes, they do. But also, really, they're stealing everybody's assets. I think that that is the thing that is most important. They can print money until the cows come home. but they're actually stealing concrete assets. They're stealing people's homes. They're stealing buildings. They're stealing cars. They're stealing, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Businesses. They're collecting assets, and they've almost got to the point where they've got everybody's assets, and that's one purpose of this. But the other purpose of this is that if everybody is in survival mode, absolutely terrified, at this particular time in history, everybody is worrying about how they're going to pay their rent, how they're going to pay their mortgage, how they're going to put food on the table, how they're going to find another job. And that keeps people into their first chakra, big time.
Indeed.
Yes.
Okay, so...
did you ever hear of Lindsay Williams? He's somebody that talks about end-of-the-world stuff, and apparently he had an insider connection with somebody that he used to work with years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the whole story about him is that his insider told him 2 years ago that we were heading towards this financial collapse, and that one of the reasons for which this was happening was because nobody was going to even afford to buy a lecture or a DVD or get a plane to go to a conference.
Yes.
So they were not even too concerned about people waking up, because they knew that they wouldn't really have the tools to do much about it anyway, even if they did wake up. Personally, I think they're wrong and they're overconfident. And I think that the overconfidence is the weakness of the dark side.
Absolutely. The arrogance of them all.
Absolutely. So, but that is where they're going, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So
you had a question.
Right. Oh, God. So many, Katie. Mm-hmm. So many. And just, I mean, really, I think the whole... What I'd like to do tonight, because of its particular... having just realized this... live on the air, to put these things together, and the idea is to create an enormous amount of fear this week, right? So what can we do about it? Is it possible? Okay. Is it possible for the people who are listening to this to absolutely prevent them and their families from going into fear?
Yes, all they have to do is decide not to go into fear.
Yes.
I know that sounds really simple and trite, but that is what they need to do. On a personal level, you just have to decide, I'm not going to go into fear. You have to declare your inner sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the... if we go into the spiritual perspective of what really is going onto this planet, this is a massive initiation into sovereignty.
Yes.
Individually and collectively. We are being tested to see if we will just go into victim mode and allow ourselves to be run over and manipulated and controlled, or if we will claim our own sovereignty. Because really, these energies have no power over us at all if we stay in sovereignty. And that is just a decision to be made. And, sometimes it's easier said than done. One can be one can always be thrown off balance by personal challenges. And truly, in some ways, the only solution when we go really off is a spiritual one.
Mm.
And the spiritual solution is literally to, if you're not comfortable with the whole idea of God or, the divine or whatever, then call in your higher self and your own higher power. That is the same thing, but it's it depends on how people are comfortable. The higher aspects of who you are, you call them in and you ask those to support you and help you and steer you in the right way. Energetically, you clear your base chakra. If you're feeling energetically really pulled into a fear direction, you can literally visualize your base chakra and see any dark energy that is in there, any energy that is not for the highest good, leaving. And that will help you to stay balanced. And also, another thing that people can do energetically is to hook their base chakra into the center of the earth. Because very often people become ungrounded when they're fearful. And the Earth is actually a very positive being, and is very much working on the same page with us at this time. Doesn't particularly want to go through another round of dark energy. And so you can hook into the Earth, and there's energy structures within the center of the Earth. The Earth has a chakra system also. So if you hook into the center of the Earth, you can hook into the Earth core chakra, and that will help you to stay grounded and balanced. Now, this is on a personal level, individually. If you want to shift energy at the collective level, then how I do it and how I have been working for several years now is that you literally tap into what I call the humanity energy grids. That is what they are trying to influence at the moment. And the humanity energy grids are basically a energy field of the collective body of humanity. We are beings, individual beings by ourselves, but together we're like cells in a body that create a collective whole. Now, this is a bit of a strange body because it's got atoms all over the place, mm-hmm. all over the earth, right? But still, we do create together a collective energy field, and this collective energy field also has a mind. That is what I believe Jung was referring to when he was talking about the collective unconscious. Now, he called it that way, but it literally is an energy structure. You can see it. When I tune in clairvoyantly, I see it as a layer of energy that goes around the Earth planet. And it is composed of all of the energy fields of all the human beings, especially the mental body and the emotional body. And it creates this layer on top of the planet Earth. So one of the ways to counteract negative energy going into that is literally you go into meditation and you ask to become a conduit for healing for the energy body of humanity, and you clear the energy off of the grids. I've done it a million times. It's very easy to do. You just have to connect with, connect with Source, with God, or your higher self, or highest aspects, and ask to be supported in doing so.
So, can we recapitulate on that? You got a base. So you start off by clearing the base center. Can you just very carefully. Carefully and precisely run through your the procedure for clearing the base center and then hooking it up. Could you do it now?
For everybody. For me to do a meditation so that we.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's hook our base centers.
Then you can do this meditation.
Yep.
Rather than me explaining it.
Yeah, and we can clip it out of the show and make it a special video or something like that.
All right.
Okay, on you go.
All right. So I'm just shifting modes here from brain to third eye. All right. So breathe in white light. And allow for the white light to go all the way through your body so that all of your body begins to relax. And feel the white light moving through every level of your body, every organ, every cell, every molecule, every atom. Feel the white light moving deeper and deeper into your being, clearing all of your being of anything that no longer serves you, and bringing healing and relaxation to every level of your body and of your energy fields and all of your energy makeup. Now feel your whole body becoming a body of light. Become aware of the energy bodies that surround you. Become aware of the many layers of light that you are. Your emotional body, your mental body, your soul bodies, your light body. You are bathed in an egg of light. You are at the center of an egg of light. And allow for the white light to fill this whole sphere that surrounds you with light, so that you become solid with light. And allow for everything that is not light to leave. Allow for your being to clear and to become aligned with the highest aspects of who you are on the higher dimensions and with the divine energy that contains all and that is all, including you. And allow now into your field of vision, your chakra system. Chakra system that has points that go from the base of your spine all the way through your central channel, right to the top of your head. There are 7 points. The base chakra is right at the bottom of your spine, and the crown chakra is right at the top of your head. And now, as you breathe, allow for the source energy, for your higher self energy, to come in and clear your base chakra. The base chakra, you can imagine it as a wheel of light. It's usually red at the bottom of your spine. And see this point that is at the bottom of your spine and in between your legs, clearing. It is spinning, and it's spinning out any energy that no longer serves you, any energy of fear, any energy of heaviness, and also any energy that is not yours that has been put there by the forces that we're talking about right now. Do this also for every single other chakra in your body, and allow for every chakra to clear and all of the energies that no longer serve you to leave, and any energies that are not yours to also leave. Also, ask that any dark cords between you and others or situations that are not for your highest good be cut and dissolved, so that you may be returning to your full self and full being. Ask also that any parts of you, parts of your energy that are scattered, that have been taken by others, or that you have left in places without realizing, that they be cleansed and that they be brought back into you so that you may reclaim your wholeness. And as you become whole, and as your chakras become clear and aligned, allow now for the connection between heaven and earth to be re-established, so that you may connect your base chakra to the center of the earth, and so that you may connect your heart and your crown to your soul on the higher dimensions and to the divine source energy or higher aspects, so that you may become a conduit between the highest energies and the earth plane. See a line of light moving from your base chakra into the center of the earth. And in the center of the earth, visualize a core crystal that is like a chakra in itself. And send your energy from the base chakra down to the core of the earth, as if you were sending a rope with an anchor that lands into the core of the earth and sticks. This is your grounding cord, and it's a powerful grounding cord. You're not just grounding into the earth, you're grounding into the core of the earth being. This will give you balance and steadiness as you walk your path. Then do the same thing with your heart and crown chakra, and send a cord of light up into the universal jewel of light that is the core chakra of the higher dimensions. And see the light from here moving down into your body and permeating your whole body with light. You're now fully connected to both heaven and earth, and by heaven I mean higher dimensional aspect of who you are. And then once you feel strongly connected, and once your energy has been cleared, you can then take your focus off of your own being and focus on the earth as a whole and see around the earth an energy field that has to do with the collective mind and emotional body of humanity. We call this the humanity grids. And see this interconnected set of nodes that goes all around the planet Earth. All of the lights connected like a net that go all around the Earth. And ask that the light of the higher dimensions, only if it is for the highest good of the souls involved, only in alignment, only for the highest good and to the degree that is for the highest good for everybody involved, so that no karmic contracts are interfered with in any way. Ask for this light to come through and bring healing to the grids of the earth. And not only bring healing to the grids, but to eliminate from the grids any energies, entities, and programming that is no longer for the highest good of the earth and humanity at this time. Ask for this to occur with ease and grace, and ask for this to affect each individual only to the degree that it is for the highest good of them according to their soul and soul contracts. And so it is. And then return your energy to your body. Bring your energy into clarity. Make sure that you're still grounded. Bring more energy into your being from the higher dimensions. Ask to be cleared. Ask for your energy field to be pristine. Ask for any energies that you may have picked up during this process to be cleared. And return to your own full, centered, and whole consciousness. And so it is. We're done.
Well. How very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, that was an interesting experience. I don't know how everybody else was doing it, if they were listening in or taking part in the non-satanic ritual. So this is the opposite. I mean, basically, if everybody were to listen to this show, download the podcast, and do this every day, mm-hmm. Play it to their friends, help their family, just be extra calm with the family, and bring everybody to a place of calm and happiness. And basically, what we need to do instead of a satanic fear ritual, we need to do a love ritual.
Absolutely.
Yes. Some kind of reminder that we are. That we're all a family, some kind of reminder that, you know, arguments about this or that or the other or this place or that thing or that amount of money was anything important.
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
This is excellent. Katie, go on, sorry.
No, it's okay. I didn't have anything to add, so. But I wanted to say that on one of my websites, I'm putting my websites all in one place now because mm-hmm. I'm even confusing myself with how many websites I have. But in the Cosmic Essence website, cosmicessence.com,
mm-hmm.
I have a meditation of this kind that is actually free. And I'm trying to remember where it is. I think it's under the Warrior Visionaries MP3 thing.
Okay, yes.
So if you go onto the cosmicessence.com, if you go inside it, there's a recordings section. And within that, there's a Warrior Visionaries section. And the last recording that I've put on there is a 30-minute meditation. That it's not exactly the same as this, but it has the same intent.
Right.
so people can use that too, and it's free.
Excellent.
So they can just put it in their iPod and do whatever they want with it.
That's great. I think it's been a real timely education, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for coming on. I know you have to go because you've got your PhD to do. Homework.
PhD homework.
Yes. Well, after that, you can play your video games.
Advanced research methodology, behavioral statistics. That's what I'm going in to do now.
All right. Behavioral statistics. That sounds like my kind of fun. I bet. I got my son here this evening and is like having to do homework and is.
Yes.
And I said,
we all have our duties.
That's right. We all have responsibilities. And I've been working I just have to tell it. There's a big argument going on in the chat room whether this is live or not. Look, by just saying that, it's live, okay? Crazy. But I've been working on the Wolf Spirit Radio chat website, and I'll do a little bit of program plugging after we've said goodbye. It would be great to hear from you regularly. It would be great to have conversations. If you can spare some minutes of your time, and your information is necessary for the world right now. You can't keep it to yourself.
No, I know, but believe me, I'm out there. I've been doing shows for about 2 years. And so, in fact, I would say to people, because a lot of the shows that I have done are kind of like this, where information comes out, and then there's processes and stuff that people can use. So I encourage people to go and look at my radio archives on where do I have them right now?
Hi, on this is on Rebecca my Jernigan, Cosmic host Perspectives of with blog. Rebecca Radio Show.
I have join all of the archives of all of the shows that I've done, and in each one, there's stuff. So I can't be on the air all the time because I've got so many commitments, right? But I invite people to go and listen to some of the stuff that's already been done, okay? And also, it seems that Dave is interested in having me do my own show also, so I'm thinking about doing that.
That would be marvelous. It would be just like this.
Beyond.
As far as you're concerned, it would be just like this.
Okay. I'm thinking about doing it twice a month. I think I can do that. So.
Can you spare Sunday morning, Sunday sort of lunch times?
I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, depending on the timing.
That's right. You and I can talk about that at a different time.
Absolutely. So that's something to look forward to, brothers and sisters. Katie Galanti on Wolf Spirit Radio. Defense against the dark arts.
That's right. Pretty much. I already know who I want to interview.
Excellent.
I've got a whole list.
Excellent.
Because there's a lot of people whose ideas I would like to have a conversation with.
Fantastic. Right, fantastic.
Sweetie, you have a wonderful rest of the show, and goodbye for now to all your listeners.
Thank you very much, Katie.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Katie Galanti. And good night. So that's marvellous. That's Katie. Katie away there. And so what I'm going to do is if anybody wants to call in and speak, I'm actually still recording this, and so the whole thing will go down on the tape. Anyway, so I have a couple of jingles that I'd like to play, and I'd like to play a little tune, because I like to play little tunes. And so let's have a look at some of our up-and-coming programs.
Hello, everyone. This is Stuart A. Swerdlow. Join me and Janet for my new radio show, Infinite Realities, live on October 30th, 2011, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in for amazing information and great guests. See you then.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan, host of Journeys with Rebecca radio show. Join me October 30th from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time.
Spirit Radio.
Yeah, it's the Wolfman. No, it's not. It's Jeremy. Anyway, so that was very interesting and very exciting, brothers and sisters. We have been, we've been part of the PSYOP. I know, and I get it. The whole thing about Comet Elenin and this whole October the 28th Mayan calendar, we're waiting for something to happen, waiting for something to happen. We're expecting a kind of thing that's going to happen, and it's all very fearful, and we're all looking forward to it with fear. And instead, something marvelous should be happening. I think, in a way, Richard Hoagland had the right idea. You know, something wonderful is happening. But the powers that be are trying to force us into some kind of, oh, we better be nervous about this time. So I think the best thing we could do is party. If it's the end of the world, party on until the end of the world. Play happy music. Eat your favorite foods. Give up your diets just for this week. You know, do whatever it takes to make you happy. And whatever is making you unhappy, take it out of your life. And if you can do it really quickly, then all the better. The other thing that that struck me during our conversation was that a lot of people have been preparing for this time by living some kind of meditative life. Sometimes maybe a little more austerity than others. You know, not. I was talking to my son this evening, and I was talking. That we live normally, like we would live if we didn't have electricity. We've got a wood burning stove brought in. We've prepared some stuff. We've prepared wood. We've got hand saws. We've got hand tools and ways of sharpening tools and all of that sort of stuff. And I suppose if we were to get a huge solar flare and we lost electricity, then there'd be a lot of people, not just me and my son, because I know that I'm one of millions of who have kind of expected this and haven't ridiculed people who have been expecting this, because there's so many people who have been preparing. I think this is the moment we've been preparing for, and what we need to prepare is a great feast. And if we can have some kind of feast and jollity over this next week, it will show the powers that be, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, the Hidden Hand, whatever they are called, it will show them that we will laugh in their face, because that's how you defeat them. It's nothing to do with weapons. That's their programming. What they want is our heart. And they can't have it. And that's it about being sovereign. You can't have somebody's heart. You can't own anybody. Not really. You can trick somebody into thinking that they're owned by you, but there's no reality about it. Nobody can own anybody else. Nobody can take somebody else's time without them choosing. And I think these are the great lessons that we're learning right now. So, end of rant. I think I'm going to play another new tune. This again, I can't remember. I think it might even be Mads. Is it your tunes? Anyway, I'm going to play this tune, and then I'm going to play my outgoing music and sign off for this evening. I'd like to thank you for joining me this evening and for this podcast if you're listening in the future. If you're listening after next week, after the 28th of October, it would be interesting to look back and see if I was right. Did we have a big party? Or did we have a big scare fest? And I think, you know, if you're trying to work towards the light, I don't want to be a party pooper. Right, I want to have a really good party. There's nothing you can't stop me from partying. But the whole Halloween thing has always creeps me out. And knowing about this kind of stuff and the whole satanic ritual and externalization and everything like that has always made me feel uncomfortable. Katie has actually managed to put it into very astute and concise words, so that not only I can understand why I've been uncomfortable about it, but so that everybody else can too. And so if you've got kids, do something different. Don't let them walk around the streets trying to scare people. Do something different about it. Have parties, but, you know, use some other colours than that. That red and bay, red and red and black. I'm looking at our website. Red and black theme. But it does look tasteful. And it's appropriate in certain times. But yes, even that, even the wearing of red and black clothing at certain times of the year or at certain events has ritualistic meaning. And I think if we all start to understand how the ritual works, given Katie's work, and I really look forward to listening to her future broadcasts and asking her stupid questions as well. It's great. Because that's what I do. It will be very interesting to build up a picture of what they have been doing to us all these years. Okay. So with that, I am going to play the song out with play the tune out with. Well, I'd like to thank you all for listening to tonight's episode of Ever Beyond. It's been a very, very interesting episode. We're beyond our time. Thank you very much for coming along, and I'll speak to everybody and see you all soon. We'll be broadcasting some, Miss Muggsy tonight with Anthony Kane. And this week we'll have some very interesting guests. Let me see. Do we have a... Yes, let's have a look at the old chat room. Let's have a look at our news page. Or no, it's our home page. Which we'll have... who's coming up. And... yes, next week in October the 30th, which is Sunday, next Sunday, at 1 p.m. CST, we're going to have Journeys with Rebecca, the return of Rebecca Jernigan to the airwaves. And then at 3 p.m., we're going to have Stuart Swerdlow join us as our new host as well with his Infinite Realities show. Later that evening I'll be on with my guest, and after that, 7 p.m, Ms. Muggsy will be speaking to George Kavassilis once again. Exciting, we all love George. Okay, so God bless you all, and I'll see you next week.